Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on It's Just Life. This is Karen, one of your hosts, along with Gia, and I'm glad you're here with us today for a very interesting conversation we're planning to have. Right, Gia?
Yeah. Hi, guys. This is Gia. I'm really excited about our topic today. It is definitely something we all need to think about, and I think a lot of people need to hear about.
Yeah, well, both Gia and I happened to read an article, a blog that was posted online actually back in October, but I just recently read it for the first time. And I heard that this blog kind of went viral on the internet, and the title of it is Everything Doesn't Happen for a Reason, and it's by Tim Lawrence. And when I first read the title of it, I expected that I am going to hate this article. I just, from the title, everything doesn't happen for a reason. The way I read that was nothing happens for a reason. And so I thought, oh wow, I'm going to read this and I'm going to disagree with everything this guy says. It turns out that's not the case for me, but I was wondering, what your initial reaction was to it, Gia.
Definitely the same. I heard that title and instantly disagreed with that premise. But after reading it, we both talked about how we kind of felt all over the place reading through it, because there's points where I felt strongly opposed to what he said, and then other points where it seemed like he kind of got it, at least in my perspective. And so in the end, I found myself to just feel a lot of compassion for this author, for this guy, because I think his suffering is apparent in the article and his pain comes through pretty loud and clear. So maybe we should talk about what he says so that our listeners kind of have an idea of what we're referring to.
Yeah, because basically he's writing about the experience of grief, and he alludes to the fact that he himself has experienced a lot of grief. He doesn't go specifically into it, but it sounds like a lot of loved ones in his life perhaps have died, and there's been other types of suffering. And his objection is particularly the saying, everything happens for a reason. And that really bothers him when people say that. And say if someone has just had a loved one die and a person comes up to them and says, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. I think that seems to be what particularly annoys and irritates him.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to point out this one part of the article where I feel like he kind of goes beyond what everything happens for a reason could mean. He says everything happens for a reason. He says that those words are responsible for nothing less than emotional, spiritual, and psychological violence. And he believes that everything happens for a reason means that what occurred was something that had to happen in order for the person to grow and transform. And I think that's where his thinking gets a little bit backwards, because everything happening for a reason doesn't mean that this result couldn't have come about another way. Like we, Mom, have talked about how there's definitely free will in our lives, and not everything is a determined fate. But I believe, we both believe, we're meant to come here and learn certain lessons through our life experiences. So if whatever happened didn't occur, we'd probably learn it through some other occurrence. So it's kind of like whatever happens is the soil and the seeds that can lead to your transformation, but it's not a requirement that had to happen. It's like we're co-creating the results with the universe. You know, we're making choices, and then we're trying to grow and learn from them and heal from them. What do you think about that, Mom?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And but I do remember back when I was struggling with grief after my dad committed suicide. I really got stuck in my grief. It was very devastating. It was very hard to get through. And I was feeling grief and guilt over my dad's death. And I remember the thought crossed my mind, like, this, my dad's death might really help me grow. And I had to instantly dismiss that in the beginning because I had the feeling that, no, if I grow from his death, if I learn something or grow, then it means that it's my fault that he died, that he had to die so that I could learn that because I wasn't learning it some other way. And I couldn't bear that thought. So I had that same sort of that distorted thinking in the early years after my dad's death. And it took me a while to get over that. It took me a while to say, it's okay if I do grow and transform after my dad's death. And that doesn't mean that, oh, I'm glad it happened. Oh, great news. My dad killed himself. That's fantastic. It doesn't mean that I am at all denying any of the pain and the devastation of his death or the tragedy of it, or denying even my wish that I wish he was still here. I wish he was still here with me. It just means that in my process of working through the grief, I found a way to find a way to grow, a way to use the seeds in the soil, like you said, to grow something through that process. So I get what he's saying because I was at that place when that felt really threatening and scary to me as I was trying to cope with my dad's death. But I was able to move beyond it and see things from a bigger perspective eventually over time.
Right. And I think you hit on a couple of really important points that grief is a process. So you're going to have different stages and phases where in the beginning, no, you can't see that it happened for a reason. You're not there yet. The reason hasn't even occurred. You know, you're stuck in that place for a while coping. And yeah. And then also, like you said, seeing things from a higher perspective, I think that we are being asked to hold both perspectives in our hearts, both that this is a tragedy and it was horrible and it should not have happened, and also that there's beautiful transformation that comes from pain and devastation this deep. I think part of the yin and yang of being a soul in a human body on earth and dealing with this this realm of polarity is that we do have to allow both perspectives to be true. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, it's wrong in a sense. It's not okay that people suffer like this. But we also have to hold the perspective in our hearts that we can still love. We can still transform in the name of love and heal. And I think that's one of the hardest things for a lot of people to accept, is having both perspectives and both perspectives being okay.
Yeah. And I remember bouncing back and forth between those two perspectives because I couldn't hold both perspectives at one time. You know, first of all, I was only caught up in the garden perspective, I would call it, in the beginning of, oh, this is awful. This is so tragic. Like, and constantly reviewing, what could I have done differently? How could this have been prevented? What might have helped? What would have changed it? And just being stuck in that point of reviewing over and over again, how the changing the past would have changed what just happened, which was really pointless in a way to be reviewing that, but it was all I could think of and all I could do at the time. And when I finally got to a point where I could see a higher perspective, like, wow, like dad's death in a way shattered so many things about my life and about me, but they were all things that I needed to let go of in a way. And something amazing could come as a result of getting through this. I could see that at times, but I couldn't somehow see both of those things at the same time for quite a few years. I would just go back and forth from one perspective to the other and not be able to integrate them together.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that your dad didn't commit suicide and you learned similar lessons and had similar transformation from a different experience in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that it would have had to come from something painful in order to transform in the way that you did, whether losing your father or something else? Have you sort of seen it as the pain is what had to occur in order for the growth to occur?
That's an interesting question, because I don't know for sure. You know, I don't know that pain is necessary for growth to occur, but I do know that those painful occurrences have led to really powerful growth for me. But I was just thinking back to, like, when you were born and Aaron was born, that was like phenomenally life-changing in a very positive way, like joyful and positive, though still there was some pain, because when you bring a new baby into your life, it changes a lot of things about what you do and your routine, and you have to let go of things and give certain things up to be a parent. So there was still some pain, but not the same type of pain. So I guess I don't want to say that the pain is necessary, but in my case, the pain resulted in a huge amount of growth and transformation that took place. And the pain of my dad's death, at least, it happened. So I couldn't go back and reverse it or change it. It happened. So I had to figure out how I was going to live with that.
Right. Well, maybe we could say that both, you know, painful and joyful things can lead to transformation, but it's always two sides of the same coin, because even something as joyful as having your two children carried with it the potential for so much pain when we left the house or when we got hurt. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that amount of love and connection and depth comes with an equal amount of possible pain. And same with your father. Losing him was completely devastating, but having him was just as joyful. So maybe there's an inherent, you know, yin and yang to all of these things. Everything has a balance. And I'd like to just acknowledge that. I think what the author in this article says too is that there's a problem with people trying to avoid grief.
Yes.
And I think that it's good to be able to honor our pain and not fear pain so much, knowing that there is the potential for so much healing and transformation, even from pain.
Yes, I think that's perfect. And that turned out to be one of the major points I agreed with in the article too, that our society does tend to diminish pain and diminish grief and to encourage us almost to numb it or avoid it or just shut it out somehow.
Yeah, and I love that he really acknowledges, I mean, this guy's website is called The Adversity Within, Shining Light on Dark Places. So his whole message is about allowing darkness to be there, and I think that's so important. So that's one thing I really agree with this guy on in his message. But I feel like he has maybe dug really deep into his own darkness and pain and doesn't realize that there's light at the end of even his tunnel. And I think he could be on the verge of transformation, of realizing why some of the things in his life happened, if he can just let go a little bit and rest in his faith and his trust. One quote that I think we both really loved from the article was that some things in life cannot be fixed. They can only be carried.
Mm-hmm. I loved that. I love that. And I think our society's intent too often might be to try to fix things. And I definitely know that's true about Western medicine, which I, was part of for many years of my life, that our goal and intent is to always have a way to fix things, and with a medication or a treatment or something, instead of being able, as he said, to just carry it. And I think that one of the ways we carry that suffering and carry the pain is to find meaning within it, which is ultimately what happened for me, like, which I've told the story over and over, but like 3 years after my dad died, I started volunteering at hospice because I knew I needed something new, something different in my life. I had to do something differently in order to carry this grief that was weighing me down. And I just got the inspiration I should try volunteering at hospice. And that ultimately completely redirected my life. It completely shifted me onto a new path. It was extremely powerful. And that is where I found meaning in my dad's death, that it was kind of a catalyst that pushed me to go a new direction. And it turned out to be the place that I was kind of recognized I was meant to be here all along. I was meant to be doing this all along. Like, this is where I belong. So that's where meaning came to me at last, and I could finally carry the pain and the guilt of his death in a way that felt like I could manage it again, that I could still live my life and I could still hold this pain, but I could also help other people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So it sounds like it's a choice to make meaning out of your suffering, and you can choose to believe, like this guy does, that it didn't happen for a reason at all. Or you can choose to see how you have blossomed and grown. And he even mentions in the article that now he lives an amazing life and he has experienced transformation, or he's very blessed, but he doesn't believe that any of it had to do with his suffering. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a choice to see it that way. It does take a lot of courage to be able to look at it that way. And I think where he's at in his head, it feels uncomfortable to go there. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to point out is that when you're looking at your loss or your suffering and you'd like to make meaning out of it, if it's not clear yet, I think we can always go back to the meaning that we need to love ourselves deeper, because sometimes things in life are super difficult and you may not have the answer. You may not have the reason why it happened ever or for many, many years, but there's always the purpose of coming back into your heart and loving yourself deeper and having greater compassion for yourself. So I feel like no matter what happens, that can be your reason.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. And that's actually one of the things he mentioned in the article, is all of the self-loathing that he dealt with through the pain that he had been through. And so that's such a powerful statement to say, in the beginning, figure out how you can still love yourself and have compassion for yourself no matter what has happened and no matter what you're going through.
Yeah, he even said, I'm trying to find where he says it in the article. He even says that he experienced so much self-loathing that it nearly killed him. So it's like he almost magnified the grief and the loss he was going through by putting more shame and more hatred and more fear and anger into it. I think we both agree, like, his energy coming through the article is that of anger a little bit. He's still angry about the things that have happened. And again, we'll reiterate that that's a choice. It's a choice to choose love in a painful situation or to choose to stay stuck in anger. And yes, there's a certain amount of time in which that's really important, but I think this guy could benefit from a little more compassion for himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting too, because one of the things he seems to be angry about that he expresses in the article is people saying these platitudes, he calls them, like, everything happens for a reason, get over it, move on, you'll get, rise above this. And he says platitudes deny people the right to grieve. But I have to disagree with that because, in fact, for me, in the middle of my grief process, what someone else said to me, you know, the grief that I was going through was so shattering and so devastating. It didn't really matter what someone else said. Their words to me, there were definitely people who said some kind of stupid things. There were people who couldn't even be around me because they were so uncomfortable with the idea of suicide. They had no idea how to even bring it up or what to talk about. But I understood that. I understood that this situation, this is a really uncomfortable situation. So who does know what to say or how to say it or how to be there? Almost no one does. Almost no one feels comfortable or has exactly the right words. So I just remember, I don't remember blaming anyone and being upset with what anyone else said. I just understood, like, yeah, you're blown away by this too, and you have no idea what to say either. That's where I am. So for me, I disagree in a way that he feels like what people say could hurt the person who's grieving or could prevent their grieving process. And I guess I don't know. I don't know if I really see it that way.
Yeah, I think he's being a little judgmental of people who are hopeful and optimistic and saying that they're wrong for being hopeful or trying to be loving. Because I think when somebody says, you know what, everything happens for a reason, they're trying to be comforting and loving. They're not trying to deny your pain or deny your process. So he is sort of enjoying being really pessimistic without honoring the other half of it, which is, it's okay to be hopeful. It's okay to seek joy again. It's okay to seek healing and transformation. I think he kind of puts that down in favor of, you know, grief is more important than any of that.
Yeah, and also, I mean, what I recognize is that people who have not experienced really devastating grief yet in their life, because I think every one of us will at some point or another in our lives go through it. But some people haven't yet had that depth of grief happen to them. Of course they don't know what to say. Of course they don't. They haven't been there. They don't know exactly how it feels. And they may be trying to be helpful in the best way that they can. And they may be trying to show that they care by coming around and saying something. So their intent is good. Their hearts are loving and open, but they just don't necessarily know exactly what words to choose or how to say it. So I wouldn't judge those people. I don't judge them. He kind of encourages people, like, get rid of them, lose them from your life if they say something to you. You find hurtful.
Yeah, he literally says, if someone tells you everything happens for a reason, you have every right to cut them out of your life. And it's like, whoa, you know, that's a little steep. They're just trying to be helpful and they don't know how. And I think that's just his anger speaking once again. Mm-hmm. One thing he says that we both liked was that sometimes there are no words, you know. Like you said, both people are completely stunned and blown away by the tragedy, and there are no words. And sometimes all you can do is be there for someone in silence. And he recommends that. And I think you can speak to the power of that too, Mom, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a story about that. When I was in medical school, one of my close friends in medical school had his girlfriend was killed in an accident. She was actually driving home for Christmas vacation and was killed in an accident, which of course was devastating for him. And we had another male friend of, you know, the three of us were all friends. And our other friend, Ron, said, I have no idea what to do. I would like to go help Charlie, but I have no idea what to do or what to say. And I said, Ron, it's really important. I said, you're one of his best friends. You have to go. You have to go see him. You have to at least show up at his house because he needs to see that you're there for him. And so Charlie told me later, he said, you know, the thing that was the most helpful to me in all of this process, he said, one day Ron showed up at the door. He walked in my living room and sat on the couch and he didn't say one word. And he said, I sat down in the chair, Ron sat on the couch, and we sat in the room together for 1 hour and neither one of us said anything. And then Ron got up and left. And Charlie said that was the best thing anyone could have done. He just came and he was there. And he said that, he said, I understood how hard it was for him to do that. And it meant more to me than anything. And it was perfect. We didn't have to say any words, just being there. And that's exactly what the article points out. That, and I guess especially this is a masculine perspective on handling grief too, that maybe even more so for men, being able to be present and not speak and not say anything could be really powerful and really important.
Yeah, I love that. And the words that come to mind that I hear a lot in like the New Age or yoga community is that Ron was holding space for his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of goes with what Tim says in his article, that you sometimes can't fix something, you can only carry it. And maybe it's such a massive thing to carry that you need others to help hold space for it.
Yes.
When grief is that powerful and that big, there are no words, there's no analysis right away. There's no reconciliation at first. You just carry it, and then having people around you to be with you in silence and hold space for you and your pain can be so healing and helpful. So I love that Tim pointed that out. We both agree on that one.
yeah, absolutely. So that's such a great tip, that you really don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything more than, you know, I'm here. I'm here with you. I think that is the perfect number one tip. And the best thing to get out of this article is the importance of being able to be present without even worrying about having to say just the right thing or come up with the right words. Just show up and be there.
I want to point out the elephant in the room, that this guy, Tim, never once mentions in his article a higher power or believing in God. And I really want to actually just talk about that. I think this guy, it seems like he doesn't believe in a higher power, because a belief in a higher power and faith and trust is what allows us to accept things in our life as happening for a reason. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Do you have anything to say?
No, I agree with you. That perspective is missing in the article, and is perhaps one thing that he doesn't like, is when people who have the perspective in their belief system and the way they see the world, things do happen. There are reasons why things happen. Things do make sense in this universe, even though we can't figure it out or understand it. There's something behind all of it, something bigger than all of us. And it seems like that philosophy alone is what makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah. And in my experience, I feel like the more I have expanded my consciousness and been able to accept the things that happen in my life and really allow them to be and allow them to be in my life instead of fighting them and being afraid of everything that's about to happen or afraid or hateful or angry about bad things happening, the more I'm able to absorb that, it seems to me like the faster the transformation comes or mm-hmm. the clearer the reason becomes why things happen. So to me, the more I've been willing to have faith and trust in the universe and everything happening for a reason, the easier it becomes to accept the difficult things and the faster transformation and healing occurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely say that too. Just being able to have that mindset of sometimes like rising above this garden existence here on planet Earth. I'm being able to take a bigger perspective that, you know what, life is so much bigger than what I'm experiencing here in my little body on this little planet. There's so much more going on than this, and I can't understand it all. I can't see it all or perceive it, but I trust and I know that there's something bigger than me, bigger than my life, and bigger than this pain and this suffering that is happening right now.
Yep. And in the article, this guy kind of avoids that whole topic. And I think truly that's what he's missing, is that higher awareness and faith. He very much lacks faith. And it seems like he's kind of stuck on a rational and logical level of thinking, which on his level, he's got a great point. You know, grief and pain are extremely important to acknowledge and like, and let grief have its process. But I sort of think this guy's going to have a transformation in this lifetime, where he will rise to a higher perspective and start to have faith that things do happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's also right on the rational level and from the garden view that in many ways life sucks. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Hard, terrible things happen here on this planet Earth. It is a hard place to live. Like, everyone we love, we are in some way or another going to lose at some point during our life, our lifetimes, you know? And it's like, what a setup. Like, this is a hard place. It's just guaranteed that each one of us is going to go through painful times and have suffering. So for me, having a belief system and a mindset that helps me make sense of the suffering and helps me just embrace it head on from the start is what helps me get through it all and help me actually figure out how do I learn the most from the pain and suffering that I'm experiencing. How do I get the most out of this and make the most sense of it and find the most reason within it?
Yeah. I just had the image of this guy holding on to his anger and holding on to what has happened to him that he still hasn't forgiven or allowed. And it really, truly is heavy. He's holding on to the burden. He's holding on to anger. And it's like the weight of the world on his shoulders, and it slows him down. It slows down his process and his transformation. It slows down his healing. And it doesn't allow him to be to vibrate at a higher level where he would have a higher perspective and be able to feel love and light and healing. And so I think being willing to have faith in whatever higher power you believe in allows you to set down the heaviness and not be burdened by all the questions that you need to hold on to, because it sounds like he's still really holding on to a lot of trauma that's happened, and it is very heavy on his body. It makes him more dense, you know, and the more we can just set that stuff down and be light and free, the faster we will find healing.
And when you were talking about holding space for others. In reality, every living thing on this planet will die. So every living thing experiences that suffering of death. And as humans, we have higher awareness and consciousness about dying and suffering around us. But in a way, that it's amazingly beautiful that that is one thing that we have in common with every other person on the planet. We all suffer in the same ways. We all suffer the same types of losses and pain through our lives. So in a way, we're all holding space together for one another. So the heaviness of that burden in some ways is eased by the fact that we're all sharing it on this planet. We're all here together and we're all sharing the weight of it and helping each other carry it.
Yeah, I love that. And maybe somebody telling you that everything happens for a reason is just their way of trying to hold space for you. Because they're hoping that healing will come from this experience. That's what they're putting out there for you, is I really hope that this awful tragedy can someday lead to more love in your life. Not that you growing from this experience justifies it happening and makes it right or makes it okay, but simply that I hope healing will take place for you.
Yes, exactly. I understand what he's saying. If someone makes a comment to you and their intent is to stop you from grieving and to tell you that you shouldn't grieve, that's not helpful. But most of the time, my experience is when people do make comments and say things to someone who's grieving, they really are trying to help. They really do want to say the right thing. They really do want to bring healing to you and help with it.
Yeah. So I think we wanted to wrap up by just saying a couple tips. I know, Mom, you wanted to mention tips for people who have a friend or a loved one who is grieving and how to go about supporting them.
Yeah, I have written a few blogs about this because I do think it's something that we don't know how to handle in our society. And going through it, when my dad died, I saw how certain friends completely backed away because they were so uncomfortable with grief and didn't know what to do. So, on the extremely practical side, I will say, here's one thing you could do for anyone you know who's grieving, and that's bring food. Because when you're in the middle of grief, and it sounds really simple, but when you're in the middle of grief, it's extremely hard to get yourself organized enough to figure out to make a grocery list and go shopping or figure out how to cook something. And so what helped me more than anything was when people dropped off food, like someone brought a huge pot full of homemade soup. It was so comforting. It was so amazing and wonderful. And eating soup and knowing that someone made that with love, that was so helpful to me. So bringing food, I think that's something that would almost always be welcome, but you might want to coordinate with other people if lots of people are bringing food. But simple, very simple thing to do, but, you know, drop off a plate of brownies, bring a bowl of oranges, like something like for me, food, I can't overestimate how important it was that people brought us food that was good to eat, because literally we had pizza at one point. We ordered pizza like 5 nights in a row because there was just no energy to do anything else, to handle anything else with food. So bringing food.
Yeah.
And then also simple things like just offering. So after my dad died, one thing that was also really sweet and really helpful to me, there was a woman who helped me clean my house. Like every few weeks, she came to clean house for me. And when she heard my dad died, she showed up one day, not on her scheduled day to come, but she showed up and she had like a pot full of flowers in one hand and her bucket of cleaning supplies in the other. And she didn't say a word. She handed me the flowers. She took her bucket in and she cleaned the house and then just left. So she came on a day when she wasn't scheduled, but she cleaned for me, which was like such a relief. Like, I don't have to worry about keeping the house clean right now because people were coming over and dropping by. And so she just did that for me because it was something she could offer. And it was the simplest, sweetest thing that made a huge difference to me. So sometimes there are like little errands we can do for others, you know. Go to the dry cleaners, pick someone up at the airport, walk the dog, babysit the kids, like offering to do little things that would help someone when through that time of grief.
Yeah, I really like that. And just holding space, whatever that may be. They might not be able to tell you what they need, but hold space for them. And and yeah, even just getting through the day-to-day stuff, that can be so helpful.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention that if you are the one who's grieving, then try to have the utmost unconditional compassion and love for yourself. And remember that you are not alone. We all go through suffering at some point, and this too shall pass. And sometimes the only thing you have that you can focus on is your breath. My friend just told me a story about when she found out her husband had cheated on her, and he was the love of her life, her only boyfriend ever, and they had been married for 10 years or so. She found out he had cheated on her, and she was in the process of grieving the loss of the relationship, and she said to her dad, you know, Dad, I've never felt pain like this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this pain. And I thought it was so sweet. Her dad said to her, just focus on this breath. Just focus on one breath at a time. That's all you can do, is just one breath. And, you know, sure enough, over years of breathing, she has healed. She's transformed. She moved. She met new people. She's in a new relationship. And when the darkness you're in is so bleak and heavy that you can't rationalize how to get beyond it, focus on your breath and just love yourself the most.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's so sweet. And that's always, always good advice to go return mm-hmm. to the breath and just be present for yourself with love and compassion and breathing just one breath at a time.
And I'm going to quote your book right now, Mom, but let your heart be broken. Open yourself up and become even bigger. Become a huge vessel. Hold an immense amount of space for your own pain. Become so expansive that you can allow this pain in your life. And the more you allow it, the more it transforms.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So true. Mm-hmm. So true. Well, whether or not you believe everything does or does not happen for a reason, we hope that our conversation has been helpful to people listening in and gives you some things to think about for your own life that you can apply whenever you are feeling pain or suffering or when you're with someone else who's suffering.
Yeah. Sending you guys so much love. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you guys on the next episode.
Yeah. Until then, take care and know that we love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.